Grow a Business That Can Run Without You, Part 2 of 3. If you listen to Part 1, then you'll know that this episode is all about how an entrepreneur or a business owner can grow a business that can run without them. And it revolves around how an entrepreneur or a business owner ultimately uses their time. And there's three things that you've got to do. In episode 1, I covered how to replace yourself. Number 2, in this episode, I'm going to discuss how to empower your team and what's required to do that. And then the third episode is going to focus around how you become an investor. But the bottom line is, the idea that weaves through all three of these episodes is that you as an entrepreneur or a business owner have a limited amount of time, and you have to make sure that the amount of time you have available is worth it. And there's some hourly math that you can work out to figure out whether or not it is worth it. But ultimately, the point of these episodes is to give you some very practical ways that you can begin making your way down this path. So in this episode, part 2 of 3, I'm discussing how to empower your team. If you want to grow a business that can run without you, you have to have a team that can show up every day and do what is required of them. Now, in the first episode, I talked about how an entrepreneur generally fills in a lot of gaps in the business. And so instead of paying 2 or 3 people to fill in the 2 or 3 job descriptions that aren't maybe full-time jobs or maybe part-time jobs, the entrepreneur, just through sheer will and force, will do the work, and they will put in more than full-time hours in their workday, but then they'll go home and they'll keep working and they'll wake up at 2 in the morning thinking about payroll. So that's something that an entrepreneur will struggle to figure out how to get rid of. How do you replace yourself? But secondly, you got to replace your team, which means you have to have people that can do the work. But before the people can do the work, they have to know that they've got your blessing to go ahead and do it. And as an entrepreneur, I've generally thought in the past that I'm probably the smartest guy in my business. I know everything there is to know. No one is smarter than me. I've got all the experience, yada, yada, yada. Well, I've also failed. And that was enough of a kick in the pants to say, maybe I'm not the smartest person. Maybe I don't know all of these things. And so unfortunately, you're just gonna have to learn that lesson on your own. If you're a strong-willed entrepreneur and you think that you're the smartest guy in the room, great. One day you're gonna get punched in the face and realize you're not the smartest person in the room. And the punch in the face is gonna come in the form of market changes or financial changes or events in your personal life that end up showing you that the business you thought you had maybe wasn't as great as you wanted it to be. And so you have to empower your people. In order to empower your people, you fundamentally have to understand that you're not the smartest person in the world. I'm certainly not. In fact, the older I get and the more I do this, the more I realize I am far from the smartest person in the world. The only thing I might understand a little bit is how not smart I am. And then that gives me a willingness to listen to people and figure out what they can contribute. But to grow a business that can run without you, you really do have to empower your team. So your team has to know that even though you've been maybe what took the business from nothing to something, that you are looking to them to help them take the business from something to something great. And you have to be willing, at least in my case, you have to be willing to try people on for size. Just because you put out an ad, just because you hire someone, doesn't mean they're gonna be the best person for the job. And again, in many, many episodes, I've talked about entrepreneurs that I've worked for in a consulting capacity. And I've heard things like, I've gone through 6 controllers in 3 years. And it's like, you think the controllers are the problem, or do you think you're the problem? You know, or they'll say, my accountant screwed me. It's like, you sure your accountant screwed you? Because you're the business owner. At the end of the day, you're the one who's supposed to understand the basics of your business and understand how to keep it in between the guardrails. You know, my salespeople, they just underperform. Do they? Do they really underperform? Or is your marketing strategy so poorly put together that for all of the work not being done in your marketing plan, you're shuffling it down to your salespeople and they don't have the tools, they don't have the resources, they don't have the value proposition, you're not bringing them the right leads. Well, you know, our marketing company, they just don't get us good leads. Really? You sure the marketing company doesn't get you good leads? Maybe you haven't figured out the kind of customer that your business needs to work with. Maybe you haven't figured out how to attract them. Maybe you don't have an offer that's so compelling that they can't do anything else but call your sales team and book an appointment or book a call to take advantage of your product or service. So my point is, not to make fun of you, But I've said all of those things to myself. And so that's why I can say it and be glib about it, is because there are much, much better people that can do the job. You have to try them on for size and figure out what works. But what you cannot do, or I haven't been successful doing it. So if you have, let me know how you did it, because I haven't figured out how to do this in 25 years. But you can't just say to someone, here's the job, off you go. I'm looking for a report at the end of 30 days, and if you didn't do the job I asked you to do, you're out of here. It just doesn't work that way. Leadership is still a very real thing. Entrepreneurship, being a business owner, requires having goals, having objectives. If your objective is to grow a business that can run without you, then you need to tell your team that, because it sets the expectation that your team says, okay, you're going to empower us to help you reach that goal, because we're going to collectively do this together, but I still need your participation. I still need you to set the tone. I still need you to fill in the gaps in my knowledge. I still need you to help me become as passionate about what we're doing as you are. And empowering your team doesn't mean empowering them and walking away. Empowering them means serving them. In fact, where I have recognized the most leverage in working with people is when I am prepared to say, every time I talk to someone, is there anything I can be doing to help you? I've met so many entrepreneurs that carry around this attitude of, and this is fine, by the way, if this is your style, then this is your style. It's not mine. And from what I can tell, it doesn't work if you want to run or grow a business that runs without you. But many entrepreneurs will say, you know what, the people should just be lucky to have a job. You know, nobody knows what I went through. Nobody knows what it took for me to get here. Okay. I mean, that's one attitude. Another attitude is, hey, I won't get to where I'm going if I can't help people get to where they are going. People want to work in a business and be recognized for their talents, for their skills. They want to have fulfillment in their work. They want to go home at night and not be worried about work. They want to come in every day and know that they're contributing. And the only way that happens, as far as I can see, is through servant leadership, where someone comes to the table in the capacity of an entrepreneur or a business owner or a decision maker or someone who's in a position of authority and says, how can I help you? What can I do to make sure that you need to get to where you're going? And by empowering your team, you're not hiring people and walking away. You're hiring people and then you are working for them. You know, there's that classic line, if I can make other people successful, then I will be successful. And I think this really embodies that point. Empowering your people means hiring people that have the capacity and the competency to do the job you need done, but then walking alongside of them and serving them until they no longer need you to help them. And there will come a time, trust me, that's going to happen. If you've done this properly, and I've seen it happen countless times in the situations I've been involved in, there's a lot of investment required at the onset. You have to invest a lot of time. You have to invest a lot of energy. You have to be patient. For someone like me, I have to learn not to be so short-tempered, because to me, things that are very, very obvious are not as obvious to other people. But if you can grind through all of that, what you end up doing is making an investment into somebody who over time will pay you back. And we know that time is really the only value that any of us have. At the end of the day, it's not our money, it's not our status, it's not our accumulation of things. It truly is our time. In fact, that's kind of the theme through all three of these episodes, is as an entrepreneur and a business owner, you have a limited amount of time. How are you going to use it to grow a business that can run without you? Number one is you got to replace yourself. So you got to take all that time that you're spending inefficiently and give it back to people so that they can do it better than you can. Then you need to empower your team. You need to walk alongside of them, serve them, figure out how to get them up to speed quickly so that they can surpass the job that you were doing, or even surpass the job you were expecting them to do. That's when it really becomes magical. When as an entrepreneur, you have empowered your team, and there's an amount of time that goes by where you say to yourself, you know what, even as the owner, if I stepped back in right now, I wouldn't really know what to do. And if I knew what to do, I couldn't do it as well as our team does it. That becomes the objective. And so if you have figured out a way in episode one to generate more revenue or to maintain your margins while you pay for the people that are replacing you, the next thing that you want to do is empower your team. And when you can get to the point of saying, wow, my team does this better than I could ever do it, even if I stepped in and managed all the little tiny pieces, they all do it better. I worked for an individual who hired me, who took a company public, and at one time, he had 250 people rolling up to him. So it was flat management. I mean, there was some like middle management, but everybody in the organization knew that even those management positions were somewhat token positions. At the end of the day, he really wanted to keep his fingers on everything. And so it was great. He got the organization from nothing to 250 employees, but then the whole thing crashed. And the whole thing crashed because when a business has that kind of velocity to it, it's unreasonable that a single human being with any normal sense of work hours can prop all of that up and handle all of the demands that the people down the line have. So you do have to empower your team. And if you're looking to grow a business that can run without you, this is key. Once you've replaced yourself and you've got people in place, then you got to give them the authority and the power to go ahead and be prepared for them to make mistakes. They will inevitably make mistakes. The first person you hire may not be the best one. The next person you hire may not be the next one. But when you hire people, give them a fair shot, give them enough runway to determine whether or not they're the best fit for the job. And the only way you can do that is by serving them. And if you're serving them and trying to help them and it's not resonating or it's not moving the needle, then you got to let them go and find the next person. And that can be really tough, certainly for someone like me, because I like everybody and I want everyone to win. And I kind of naturally root for the underdog. And so when I hire people, I have had to learn to cut my losses quicker. And I've reframed it. It's not a loss for me, it's a loss for the individual, because people also don't want to be working in a job where they're not winning every day. They don't want to be working in a job where They know that the only reason they're there is for a paycheck, because they don't have any other options. And that doesn't create a really great culture, and it doesn't create a really great work environment. So in this episode, I was trying to shine some light on empowering your team if you intend on looking to grow a business that can run without you. If you found it helpful, please subscribe, put a comment, reach out to me if you want to talk about your team. If you as an entrepreneur or a business owner just want to talk to like kindred folk like me, I can share with you some of the things and tips and tricks that have worked for me. It's a 10 or a 15 minute call if you want. At least it, you know, it might give you just enough to start going down this road so that you can in fact grow a business that can run without you. So like, subscribe, comment, do your thing. But most importantly, make sure you tune in to the next episode.